said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And wow, we have a lot of things we want to cover today. And it's going to be kind of an extension from yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the protests, the universities, the Trump trial, and the CIA. The scumbags at the CIA are up to all their dirty tricks, and the of course the DOJ and FBI corruption. We're going to talk about the election interference that they're doing at the Biden administration, and you know, basically the assault on American values and our Constitution. So, you know, a little bit of light fare for today. You know, we're going to just keep it light, keep it real. You know, have a little fun. Because that's the world we're living in, right? Oh, my goodness. Well, that's crazy, if you think that. All right. So President Trump, rock star, was over on Truth Social and brought pizzas. So the headline over at New York Post, Trump bearing pizzas met with cheers at Manhattan Fire Department firehouse. So former President Donald Trump, I like to say President Donald Trump, was greeted with cheers Thursday as he delivered pizzas to a Manhattan firehouse after spending the day in court. It does, you know, I hate to say it, and I've heard so many people say this. How does he do it? And the truth is, it's not easy. If half the men in half his age can't do it, what makes you think it's easy for Donald Trump to do it? I mean, this is the hardest working man in America. He's 77 years old. And, you know, probably carrying a little extra weight, if you don't mind me saying, but not, he's looking great. He's looking very, you know, fairly, he's looking probably better than he's looked in years. But, you know, he's 77 years old. He's not in the best shape. This is not a gym rat. He's wearing a, you know, a fairly heavy suit with very expensive shoes that usually weigh a lot. I mean, think about just carrying yourself around like he does. Getting up on planes, getting off on planes, going up on podiums, speaking, sitting in court, having to deal with all this crap. How does he lay his head down at night, stress-free, and get a good night's sleep? I think about those things sometimes with the empathy that I have for this man. And it hurts me. It kills me. And I just, all I can do is have faith that he's strong enough to do this. I was listening to Benny Johnson, someone I like to listen to. And he was like, I don't know where he gets the energy. And most people, I mean, in their 30s and 40s, who are pundits, who are talking, no one seems to really know where he's getting his energy. It's got to be coming from God. It's got to be God sent. Whatever it is, it's inspiring. And it's so inspiring and it's so uplifting. Can anyone think of another person in the world that could fit and fill the shoes of Donald Trump? And what he means to America? He has single-handedly exposed the corruption, decay, the maggots, and the sheer stupidity of the liberal left. The corruption, the stupidity, the sheep, the swine, the hypocrites, all of that has been exposed because Donald Trump kept it real and came correct and did the right thing every single time, to the point where we have such a corrupt government that they'll literally pull stuff out of the woodwork, citing statutes from 1850-something, and try to get an American president on a technicality. I always had faith that Trump was doing the right thing, or even if he didn't do the right thing, that he was insulated, because that's what people in his posture do. Trump, this isn't Trump's first stance at the rodeo. I mean, Trump has been shaken down since the 70s, since he erected his first building. He was a good-looking target. But, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, women were real. You know, and a lot of Republican women are real. But I don't see that happening with the liberal left, the wokeism, the victimization. It's all gone to their head. They've all become sheep. They've all become victims. They want to lash out and hit, but they don't want to get hit back. And while they're at it, they're on the battle lines, these liberals, on these universities, and yet they got their hand out for a free Happy Meal or a latte, saying, we can't survive without a latte. We need to sit down, have a sit down. They're not talking about world peace. And of course, this is also, like Trump said, because Trump's not to be outsmarted, this is a distraction, because there's lawfare going on the trials that we're not talking about. Although, I will say this, they're not talking about Tbilisi, Georgia, and all the protests and uprisings in Tbilisi, Georgia. They're not talking about the crap that's going on, like Matt Gaetz was, in Niger. They're not talking about the world of fire. They're not talking about the Middle East. They're not talking about how Egypt's wall is bigger than our wall, and they don't want Gaza. They're not talking about all the secret executive orders that Biden will sign, while lying through his teeth that he says he can't sign executive orders to secure our own border. They're not talking about the $60 billion in going to Ukraine and how it's ill spent, how it's nothing but a slush fund, corrupt country that we created because our State Department, our CIA, and our USAID department, all one and the same, screwed it up a long time ago. And while Georgia is battling with the same battles that Ukraine. Georgia is going to be the next Ukraine. And remember, Georgia under Bush was invaded by Russia, and then Ukraine's Crimea was invaded under Obama, and then Ukraine was invaded under Biden. Can you tell me who was invaded under Trump? Nobody. Peace, serenity. We had the Paris Agreement. I mean, no, we didn't have. We got out of the Paris Agreement. We had the Abraham Accords that not only corrected resolved some of the issues going on between Kosovo and Bosnia, but and Serbia, and the different sects and Muslims and Christians that were going on in conflict there. But there's also that same problem going on between Georgia and Russia. And there's a lot of Georgians that want to be aligned with Russia because they don't like what the G7 nations, what the West has become with their climate BS, with their ESG score tax systems, with their social credit score, Chinese communist tracking systems, and their bioengineering and their bio-tracking and tracing and their bioweapon pandemics, scandemics, and their vaccines that kill people in the name of depopulation by impacting negatively your reproductive right, reproductive abilities. What they're trying to do without passing anything through any legislature whatsoever. We want to kill people. We want to make people so they can't have babies anymore. You know, there was a time, I'd say it was about 20 years ago, the Chinese population was going through the roof. They needed to do something. So they had this, it wasn't just a one China policy, it was a one baby policy. They said something about if you have more than one, you're not allowed to have more than one baby. And if you have one baby, then you get neutered. Literally, they were like castrating men. And there was talk about all this stuff. And people thought that was like, oh my gosh. Well, now China's giving us lectures on election integrity and censorship. We got a clip for that today as well. But you know, the thing is that what we used to call insane and inhumane was completely something that we're living through right now. And they don't even tell you about it. They sneakily do it like a terrorist. Who blew up the plane? I didn't do it. Somebody blew up the plane. It was a terrorist, right? Who's going to claim ownership of this deed, this atrocity? And these all spineless little swines, none of them wants to take ownership for it because they know what they're doing is wrong. So President Trump is still winning, but we have this audio clip I want to share with you that talks a little bit about this Trump thing. We're going to get through this one quick because we don't have, we always run out of time, don't we? So we're going to go ahead and play Jonathan Turley here.
This is 8 days that we've all been
Donald Trump
sitting in this courthouse. This is all a Biden indictment. It's in order to try and win an election, political opponent. And nothing like this has ever happened. 8 days.
We're left on Friday wondering, what's the intelligent design here towards conviction? And one thing that would help if you would just tell us, what's the crime?
He nails it. We talked about this for just a bit with Alex Warrior. This is federal from my perspective and my brief legal training. It seems mighty federal to me. So what's the crime here, and how does Mr. Bragg get this one over the finish line?
And this is going to be Tom Fitton.
Well, hopefully it's a jury, from his perspective, a jury that's anti-Trump and just putting salacious material out there about President Trump, they're thinking would be sufficient. For those of us concerned about the rule of law, Turley's absolutely right. There are no crimes here. This is an indictment about nothing. This whole week has been like an MSNBC fever dream played out in a courtroom, where they're asking this publisher questions about non-crimes. So it's a crime for politicians to communicate with members of the media about stories they don't want to run. I tell you, if that's the new rule, every politician here in D.C. is going to face criminal charges for not reporting those communications on federal election forms. It can't be the law, and it isn't.
And you know what's funny is there was a lot of different hearings and different things going on yesterday, and I turned on, one of the networks just to see what they were doing, I think by accident. And they were just nonstop talking about Trump, like giving a play-by-play of what's going on in the courtroom. I'm thinking to myself, that's just such a waste of airtime. There's so much more going on, like we talked about, Niger, Tbilisi, the Middle East, the college campuses. You know, Biden finds himself in a bad place because he's lost a lot of respect from the Israelis. Obviously, Israel loves Trump. They have a, you know, he did the embassy in Jerusalem. They have a street named after him. You know, he was a rock star in Israel to the Israel right. But there's also Israel left, and they're the ones behind the Hamas two-state terrorism. And that's what's going on in Israel. That whole conflict in Israel, in the Middle East, in Gaza, you know, the October 7th attack, that involved the culpability and responsibility of that attack has as much to do with liberals in the parliamentary, in the Politico sphere. I don't know what system they use, but that has as much to do about the liberal politicians that were advocating for a two-state solution than anything in Hamas. I mean, it was equal in a sense. It was conspired. There was a co-op to it. But caller, you're on the air. Yes, caller, you're on the air. Hello. All right, we lost the caller. All right, so we'll do our best to see if we can, you know, that was actually a caller that I didn't recognize, and I thought, maybe that'd be interesting to see if we have a new caller that had something to say on topic. All right, so, you know, obviously what's going on in the Trump courtroom is bogus. The judge orders Trump to stop noticing that people trying to put him in jail are Democrats. Trump is innocent. Yeah, that's a pretty obvious meme. American First Legal put this out, has uncovered documents proving that Biden administration coordinated with radical activists to find ways around state laws to groom children to become transgender. New internal docs obtained through our lawsuit against Health and Human Services show that the Biden administration met with radical trans organizations. Remember, he met with Dylan Mulvaney to discuss how to evade state bans on child castration and sexual mutilation. So these emails reveal that Biden administration has taken behind-the-scenes meetings with gender-affirming care providers. So there's a letter from Rachel Levine, that dude that dresses up in an admiral's uniform and calls himself a woman, says to Ingrid from HHS, thank you for your email and the information. I share your heartfelt concern for the LGBTI plus community of Idaho. We are continuing to push this issue nationally and will keep you up to date with our plans. Please take care, best RLL. So that's the Assistant Secretary for Health, Rachel Levine, the dude that dresses up like a woman. Wow. So it's real, folks, is what we're saying. The corruption is real. Nobody's covering this story. The censorship knows no bounds. But Matt Gaetz he put a spotlight not just on Niger, but also Trump prosecutor pleads Fifth Amendment when asked if he broke the law investigating Trump. Let's take a listen to Mr. Pomerantz. Pomerantz.
I'm the advice of counsel on that couple of things.
This is Mark Pomerantz, one of the investigators into Trump.
I'm the advice of counsel. I'm not going to answer that question, sir. Privilege against self-incrimination.
Self-incrimination.
And did you knowingly break any laws when investigating President Trump?
Objection. Same response.
Did you break any laws when you worked at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office?
Objection.
Same response.
Ms. Pomerantz, did you violate any person's constitutional rights when you worked on the Trump investigation?
Objection.
I have the same response to your question.
Mr. Pomerantz, did you violate any person's constitutional rights while you worked at the Manhattan DA's office?
Objection.
Same answer.
Did you misuse any federal funds while investigating President Trump?
Same response.
Did you misuse any federal funds while you were working in the Manhattan District Attorney's office?
Same response.
And did you violate any New York State bar rules while you were investigating President Trump?
Objection.
Same response.
Did you violate any New York State bar rules while you were working in the Manhattan District Attorney's office?
Objection.
Same response.
And did you violate any canons of legal ethics when you were investigating President Trump?
Objection.
Same response.
Did you ever violate any canons of legal ethics while you worked at the Manhattan District Attorney's office?
Objection.
The same response.
So these liberals are breaking laws trying to get at a former president of the United States and one who was duly elected on the second try, but through election fraud, which we've exposed. I mean, it's so obvious that the 2020 election was riddled with fraud using senseless machines. Why we're using machines is ridiculous when you get people from Dominion that are admitting in open air that they're going to make sure that Trump doesn't get elected and they control the keys to the computers. It's crazy. It's so bad that even China has weighed in on this CIA exposure, weaponizing the government against Donald Trump. It's important to remember that the CIA has been interfering, stealing elections worldwide. How can we expect the 2024 presidential election to be fair, knowing this? Here's a Chinese foreign minister, folks, giving us a browbeating for our corruption. Let's take a listen.
The China-Russia relationship is built on the basis of non-alignment, non-confrontation, and non-targeting at any third party. It is a factor conducive to world peace and stability, which is no cause for concern. What is truly concerning is the destructive role the U.S. has played to peace and stability in the world. The U.S. is the number one warmonger in the world. The U.S. was not at war for only 16 years throughout its 240-plus years of history. The U.S. accounted for about 80% of all post-World War II armed conflicts. The U.S. is also the number one violator of sovereignty and interferer in the internal affairs of other countries. According to reports, since the end of World War II, the U.S. has sought to subvert more than 50 foreign governments, grossly interfered in elections in at least 30 countries, and attempted assassination on over 50 foreign leaders. The U.S. is also the number one source of antagonism on bloc confrontation. The U.S.-led NATO is responsible for wars on Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria that killed more than 900,000 and created 37 million refugees. It has also made the Eurasia continent a less stable place. The impact of U.S.-initiated Quad and AUKUS on Asia-Pacific security also calls for vigilance. As long as U.S. hegemonism and belligerence still exists, the rest of the world will hardly get the peace it deserves.
Yeah, wow. So we're the laughing stock in Russia and China. That's pretty crazy stuff. All right. So have some other stuff for you. The CIA breaking, exposing the CIA. Italian lawyers confirmed This is going back to the Russian hoax. The CIA carried out as part of a racketeering operation with the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance the November 3rd, 2020 coup d'etat. So this is an Italian that's speaking
I,
about
Professor
this.
Alfio D'Urso, lawyer of Via Vittorio Emanuele Catania, do hereby provide the following affidavit of facts as conveyed in several meetings with the high-level Army Security Services official. Arturo Delia, former head of the IT department of Leonardo Espia, has been charged by the public prosecutor of Naples for technology data manipulation and implantation of viruses in the main computers of Leonardo Spa in December 2020. Under instruction and direction of U.S. persons working from the U.S. Embassy in Rome, undertook the operation to switch data from the U.S. election of 3rd November 2020 from significant margin of victory from Donald Trump to Joe Biden in a number of states where Joe Biden was losing the vote totals. Defendant states that he was working in Pescara facility of Leonardo Spa and utilized military-grade cyber warfare encryption capabilities to transmit switched votes via military satellite of Fushino Tower to Frankfurt, Germany. The defendant swears that the data in some cases may have been switched to represent more than total voters registered. The defendant states he is willing to testify to all individuals and entities involved in the switching of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden when he shall be in total protection from himself and his family. Defendant states he has secured in an undisclosed location the backup of the original data and data switched upon instruction to provide evidence at court in this matter. I hereby declare and swear the above states' facts have been stated in my presence. Dated 6th November of January 2021.
So that was a sworn statement from Italy. Obviously, there was a lot of shenanigans. It says here, we steal it. Information and we hack other countries just like that. So we've been meddling in this for quite some time. So here is, let's see. Okay, I want to play this one right here. Take a listen to this.
Ukraine is a United States proxy war. If you go back to 2014, just to go to recent history, we set the stage for what's happening in Ukraine right now. And even before that, with the eastern expansion of NATO, the United States of America promised that we wouldn't expand east with NATO, and we've done it over and over and over again. And so we've kind of set the stage. I'm not excusing Russia. I'm not blaming Ukraine. I'm just saying that there is more to it than just Russia invading Ukraine.
Who's really running Ukraine? Could it be the global financial elites who are the biggest directors of this drama? They appear to be the ones who have been telling Zelensky what to do, as well as...
See, and I only bring this up in conjunction with the last bit because this is election rigging. We were involved in election rigging in Ukraine. We've played many clips with Jeffrey Pyatt and Victoria Nuland from the State Department meddling in this stuff. And when Trump wanted to investigate, they took Trump down over a Ukrainian call.
Most other Ukrainian presidents since the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Or take the big business of international lending as an example. Since the war began, the IMF agreed to lend over $15 billion to Ukraine, the first time they ever issued a loan to a country at war. And it doesn't stop there. The financial behemoth has put together a plan to facilitate a projected $64 billion in loans over the next few years. As the world's largest investment company, which manages over $8 trillion in assets, BlackRock has had a hand in virtually everything, including a 15% share in Fox News. Now, here's something you probably didn't know. President Zelensky recently inked a deal with BlackRock, which will effectively hand post-war Ukraine's economy over to the financial behemoth.
some of the groups that are going into Ukraine and they're cutting deals to take advantage of the Ukrainian national capital.
BlackRock.
So you see, I mean, one of the things that you can take to the bank here, no pun intended, is that it's not just money goes over there and it comes with strings attached, and then company organizations like Anthony, the one Anthony Blinken founded, WestExec, or the Carlyle Group, the one that the Bushes were on the boards with, or Albright, or a whole bunch of others, Ridgeline. You could talk about all these different inside the Beltway think tanks and NGOs and whatever they want to call them, Atlantic Council, Brookings Institution. They're all behemoth nonprofit organizations that get millions, if not billions, of dollars from the government, and they circle it back in to impact policy, and they impact policies that are run counter to their or run in support of the corporations that want these policies in place that protect them, that insulate them, that allow them to have unfair monopolies, that allow them to have no-bid contracts and things like that. And so there's a lot of ways to make money. It's all full of corruption. There's no way to stop it at this point. It's a cesspool of corruption. The only way you could ever really stop it is if you had law and order and if you dispersed, if you not only shut down and defunded at least half of the government, but you would also want to disperse out of Washington. And what that would do to the Washington economy is it would crush it. But what would happen is you would flourish throughout the rest of the country. I think that what we need to do is move our facilities outside of Washington, D.C. and we have remote capacity, and we could hire different people and get them out of this nucleus of liberalism. And we have to do a better job in not doing groupthink. We have to think outside of the box. That's another thing that we have to do. All right, so this is Chanel Rion, part of One America News Network, who just did a expose with Tucker Carlson talking about how the government basically sent out letters and deplatformed One America News. The truth tellers at One America News were shut down and silenced as a result of our government cracking down on their ability to get access to networks. They were shut out of all the networks because of their position on COVID and their truth-telling on all of these issues.
This is why Democrats cannot be in charge of the executive branch. At heart.
Remember how much I talked about Jake Sullivan and what a loser scumbag he is and how moronically stupid the man is? And he runs basically the State Department and the National Security Advisors for under Obama and under Biden. And he's basically what makes the Biden administration Obama 3.0. And Susan Rice, you couldn't find a dumber than a rock person than Susan Rice in the female form. But in the male form, you got Jake Sullivan. All of these people were Ivy League, super overeducated, and dumb as posts. Really, pieces of wood upstairs. You look at their foreign policy, and it just sucks. You look at their social domestic policies, and they're corrupt and manipulative and sinister. And this is what Chanel Rion is saying right here.
Democrats cannot be in charge of the executive branch. At heart, they're all about food stamps and transgender rights. But the moment that they try their hand on actual foreign policy where real issues are on the line, they send in the Ivy League ivory tower lightweights. The head heavy, muscle light, pure theory Pollyannas with treason on their minds. Iran's biggest victory is not starting a war with Israel and the Western world. Their biggest victory is Jake Sullivan becoming the proxy president for the United States. For One America News, I'm Chanel Vian, and this is The Fine Point.
Crazy, right? I mean, absolutely stunning. This is stuff that we've been saying for forever. And it's just now coming out. I've been trashing Jake Sullivan since Obama was president. I thought the guy was a moron. But he's connected with Eric Ciaramella, Sean Misko, the whole Ukrainian impeachment. He's connected with, he's the dirtiest, rotten scoundrel you could ever shake a stick at. Seriously, in all seriousness. He's as anti-American as it gets. And scary to boot. All right, we want to also get to the censorship. Now, I have this Joe Rogan clip. Now, I'm going to try to catch this curse word he says at the 1:30 mark, but you got to hear this opening. It's so great.
With the open borders, so you have all these people funneling into the country, and so you have an erosion of confidence in our entire system. Because people are very aware of that, and the more people are let out of jail after they commit violent crimes, the more people are aware of that. If you looked at the whole picture, all the things that are in play right now, particularly like with the open borders and giving people plane tickets and flying them to all these different cities, like if I was going to try to destroy the country, that's how I would do it. If I was going to try to destroy the country, I would radicalize the kids. I would give them the stupidest ideas and run them in their head. Boys can be girls. Girls can be boys. Boys can compete against girls in sports if they think they're a girl. Queers for Palestine. You know, the death to the Jews. Yell it out. Mm-hmm. Unironically. Mm-hmm. On campuses. And to have the presidents of those colleges and universities defend it, which was wild.
Completely.
With cameras on them.
Yeah. It shows how scared they are. It shows how afraid they are of actually calling out what, you know, what is right and what is wrong.
I think it also shows how they live in a bubble. And I don't think they interact with the real world. Mm. And I think when they did, the shock was probably horrifying to just to realize how most people feel about what they said.
Yeah.
Like, it's not harassment unless –
I'm muting here because there is
saying death
there.
To the Jews, so you have to kill Jews,
right?
And then it's harassment.
Exactly.
Isn't that a little late?
I was shocked, like everyone else, at not only their statements, but how every one of them sitting at that table on that day said almost the exact same thing, and knowing how much preparation. Because when people come, I don't care who you are, but when you come and testify before Congress, you go through preparation. And if you're the president of an Ivy League university, you're going to have a whole team of people sitting there telling you, okay, well, here are the questions you should probably be prepared to answer. The question that Elise Stefanik asked was not outside of the realm of, like, here's what the frequently asked questions would be.
Yeah.
And the fact that their answers were all the same and how they were smirking as they were giving that answer – I was very surprised by it. Maybe I shouldn't have been as surprised given what they're doing.
I think we're sending our kids to cult camps. Mm. That's what I think. I think they get indoctrinated into this. They don't all. Some of them skate through. Some of them are wise. Some of them realize this is crazy.
Right.
Can't wait to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. And get my.
So anyway, we're going to stop that there. But here's the thing. I think that Biden is losing both sides of this issue. He's losing the Israelis. He's already lost them because of his support for Hamas and his support for Iran. But he's losing the students, too, who are radically left, who are probably going to go to RFK, who's radical left. I have a whole series. I was going to do something this week, but the news cycles didn't permit me to do it. I have a whole slew of stuff. In fact, I might even play that today if I have time. I have this one really great clip of RFK. It's really amazing. how radical left-wing and moronically stupid this guy is. But that's going to get out, because liberals love radical left-wing moronically stupid. They love that, especially when, you know, because when you compare it to Joe Biden, because Joe Biden can't even string a sentence together. So I think that RFK could be a real spoiler, because there's this radical left student population that thinks, yeah, I'm a Kennedy liberal. They don't even know what they're talking about. But they're pro-Hamas and they're all this crazy stuff. So Biden has done, you know, he's come out with a statement after 10 days of silence on this issue. And he basically said, you know, you're being anti-Semitic. So he trashed the rallies, the university protesters, in a way to try to save what's left of his support from Israel and, for, you know, the Jewish population. The Jewish Americans vote 70+% 75% for liberals, for Democrats. How? Why? I have no idea. I have several friends that are Jewish. A lot of them are Democrats. And they're still voting for Biden. I don't understand it. I don't get it. They believe in a two-state solution and all this, which is fine. There's a way to articulate a two-state solution. It was through the Abraham Accord and through peace talks with the Palestinians. But the Palestinians didn't want anything to do with that during the Trump years. So they sat it out, waiting it out. And Trump said, okay, fine. As long as you wait it out, we're going to build out the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. We're just going to build it out with Jewish settlements. And that was, the longer they waited, the worse it was going to get for them. Trump knows how to negotiate. Finally, the Arab states decided, we're going to go ahead and make normalized relations with Israel, because we see this going south for the Arabs and the Palestinians. And they're losing this. Trump outplayed them. And Trump allianced himself with Saudi Arabia, the Arab king, and that fortified their strength against the Shia Arabs coming out of the Houthis, financed by Iran, defunded Iran. His policy was brilliant in the Middle East and neutralized conflict, and was going to bring about peace talks because the Palestinians were between a rock and a hard place, and through detente, not through bullets and not through aggression, but through sheer business prowess. That's what he did. Trump doesn't get enough credit for that. So it was pretty amazing. So I want to play this clip also, this censorship clip. Eight different Biden agencies have attacked Elon Musk, right? So this is the crackdown on censorship. I also have audio clip. Oh, well, actually, I'm going to go with these clips. I have 2 hours of show, but I'm going to do 1 hour of show. Granholm, Rick Scott, basically, I'm just going to play half of this. But Rick Scott gives it to Granholm, one of the dumbest Department of Energy secretaries on the planet. She has no business what she's doing. We've played clips for you related to her doing business, selling out America, Hunter Biden being profiting from the selling off of our oil, strategic oil reserves to China. We played a clip for you on that, but we also played a clip from Senator Hawley calling her out on her stock trades, profiting from insider trading on energy stocks and green energy, you know, like Ford stocks and things like that. But here's Rick Scott, of all people, telling her what a stupid move she made in liquid natural gas.
The Biden administration announced that they were going to pause pending LNG export projects, which seems like the stupidest decision I can imagine. So in my state, we export LNG. We have through our ports. We put a lot of money when I was governor into our ports. We export it. And so if you look around the world, they want our LNG. We've got a war going on in Europe. We don't want people dependent on Russia. So we're exporting to Europe. We're exporting to Asia, right? The people, the bad guys are the ones that produce the oil, a lot of them, Russia, Iran, right? So if we don't do the exports, right, so where do our allies buy it? They have to buy more from Russia. They have to buy more from Iran, okay? So Iran's invaded Ukraine. Iran is trying to destroy Israel. So this makes it, one, economically, it hurts my state. But number two, from the standpoint of what's going on in the world, this is the stupidest decision ever. So can you explain it to me?
Yeah, just to clarify a point, this is a pause. It is not a halt.
Why would we pause?
So that we can evaluate, as we do and are required to do, what is in the public interest. We do a study every few years. Right now is when we're doing this study to determine whether the enormous
See, they do a study. They pause for 3 years, like the whole term of the Biden presidency, right? And they do a pause while we do a study. But we're not reversing the policy. We're just putting a pause on it while we do a study. That is bullcrap. That's not taking ownership for a stupid decision.
Did Russia pause Ukraine? Did Russia pause going into Ukraine? Has Iran paused?
All of the current exports are still happening. All of the current authorizations, which goes up to 48 billion cubic feet, are all proceeding.
Did you pause the new pending export projects?
But yes. Everything that is, we are currently the largest exporter of liquefied natural gas, and we will remain
the largest exporter. Yes.
Of liquefied natural gas.
First off,
it is a temporary pause.
Do you understand what you're doing to our allies?
The impacts.
Secretary,
we've talked with our allies.
What are you doing to our allies? Okay.
We've talked with our allies about this. They have very well understand that this is a temporary pause while we do an analysis of what the impacts are in the United States.
What would the analysis be? What do you have to now?
I'm happy to tell you.
Stop and think about it for a second. The world is at war. They need our energy.
And they will continue to get it, sir.
You're telling them, no, we're going to slow it down.
No, that's not what we're telling them.
That's what a pause means.
No, a pause means on future approvals. We have so much approved that we are well saturating the globe if those authorizations are built out. We have 14 billion cubic feet of capacity right now. That makes us the largest in the world right now.
What would you have to
another
study?
Another 12 billion cubic feet that are under construction.
What do you have to study?
None of that is stopping.
What do you have to study?
It is only a pause for a study
that
will
study?
Be completed in months.
Okay, what do you have to study?
Okay.
What's there to study?
There
we
want
things, to do. We want to sell.
There are four things
LNG.
We're studying to be able to answer your question. There are four things we're studying. One is, what is the impact domestically on our manufacturers? If we export almost half of our capacity for producing natural gas, what is the what's the impact in terms of cost? Number one. Number two, what is the impact, the life cycle analysis, on the export of LNG? Number three, what is the impact on our allies overseas? What is the demand we're going to be seeing to make sure that they are well supplied and that they have the energy that they need? And
you heard any manufacturer call you and say, gosh, I'm worried because we're selling LNG overseas?
There are a lot of domestic concerns. In fact, we've gotten letters on both sides.
From organizations like the wildlife organizations, right? So let's take a listen to this.
Secretary
Collins.
This
was just yesterday, by the way.
Do you know the group called the Wilderness Society?
I've heard of it, yes.
And what, to your knowledge, what is this group?
It sounds like the name is explanatory.
Well, let me help you a little bit. It's a left-wing environmentalist pressure group. Do you know who funds them?
I do not.
Well, I can help you with that, too. It's funded in large part by a foreign billionaire, Hans-Jörg Weiss, who has routed his money through all manner of dark money groups, including the Arabella Network. Hans-Jörg Weiss was investigated by the FEC for illegal campaign contributions because he's not a United States citizen. He sits on the governing council of this dark money environmentalist group. Has anybody in leadership at your department met with them, the Wilderness Society?
Senator, I do not know this individual, and
Has anybody in leadership at your department met with the Wilderness Society?
Well, I'm sure we've met with a lot of groups and organizations in the work that we do when we're discussing the environment.
So does that mean you don't know or you're not going to answer my question?
I don't have a full list of who of everyone okay. that everyone has met with.
But well, I can help you with that as I can help you with that as well. The answer is yes. Your leadership has met with the Wilderness Society. They met with the Wilderness Society when that group was a plaintiff suing the Department of the Interior with an adverse lawsuit against you, and they met with them off the books. I've got the emails. In July of 2021, after you had come to office, members of the Wilderness Society, when they're suing the department, write to your top deputy and ask for a meeting to keep it off of his calendar. Here it is, July 14th, 2021. Can we set up a meeting with these folks? July 19th, 2021, they propose how they might calibrate this so it doesn't look like they're violating any of the rules of the court. And remarkably, it stays completely off of everybody's calendars. We only know about it because FOIA requests were filed. And then after they have these off-the-books meetings, their request is to cancel the mineral leasing rights in Minnesota in the Superior National Forest. This is a critical minerals mine. The society wants the mine shut down. After they meet off the books with your leadership, you do it. A few months later, you do it. You cancel the leases, and then you withdraw 225,000 acres of critical mining from production and leasing shortly after that. Is it common practice at your department to meet with dark money groups off the books and conceal it from the public?
Senator, thank you for the question. And of course, I can't answer to if you're referring to our former deputy secretary. He's no longer at the department.
Who worked for you?
He worked for the president. He was appointed by the president.
He's your deputy secretary. Are you the secretary of the Department of Interior? Yes. I thought that's why you were here. Yes. Are you the secretary? Don't look at her. Look at me.
Yes.
Are you the secretary?
I am.
Do these people who are sitting here today answering most of your questions, do they work for you?
They work
Do they report for you? You're not in charge?
They work with me.
They work with you. So you're not in charge of the
leadership.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were in charge. I thought that's why you were here.
We work as a team.
Oh, okay. So who's in charge then?
I provide the vision. I provide the overall direction.
But you're not in charge.
Our mission.
Do you take responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior?
I take responsibility.
Do you take full responsibility for what happens at the Department of the Interior? Good. Then why are your leadership meeting with dark money groups and concealing it from the public? Why are they doing it off the books? How many times has this happened?
Senator, this is the first I'm hearing of this. My deputy secretary is no longer there, and I can't answer to what he did when he was there.
What did they get out of it, do you suppose? What do you suppose Hans-Jörg Weiss got out of you canceling the leases after they asked you to?
I don't know who
in an off-the-books reading.
I don't know who this individual is.
Oh, sure. I mean, you don't know. You're not in charge. You're not responsible. We have a corruption problem in this government, Madam Secretary. And frankly, we have a corruption problem in your department.
We don't.
We've got we certainly do. We have foreign billionaires who are funding dark money groups coming to meet with your leadership, concealing it from the public while they are filing lawsuits adverse to the department, doing it without the court's knowledge, doing it, you say, without your knowledge, and then getting exactly what they want. Now, I don't know how much money he made off of it. I'm sure it was a lot. I know how he made his money. He made his money by poisoning people. Hans-Jörg Weiss, here's what his company did. In 2009, Synthes USA, with Weiss at its head, was charged by Philadelphia's U.S. attorney with running an illegal clinical trial on humans. They injected them with a cement that turns to bone inside the human skeleton. That's the guy who's funding this group, who's pressuring your department, and you're meeting with them off the books.
That's a beatdown, folks. That is a beatdown. Eight different Biden agencies have attacked Elon Musk since they took over. So Jim Jordan grilled Flannery, the guy that we've played earlier in the week and got beatdowns. by particularly Hagerman, Harriet Hagerman from Wyoming. But in any case, we're at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org, MAGAPAC.org, to find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Also, use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Goodbye, buddy.